Hi! You've reached the Slytherin Common Room, a Potter podcast hosted by a couple of Slytherins with a lot of opinions.
Join us as we traverse through the Potterverse and talk about theories, plot holes, and all our favorite characters.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Slytherin Common Room. It's been a weird week, and especially for Shalvari. Shalvari, what have you been doing this week?
So, it's been super weird because I've been manifesting my dreams to come true. I don't know how. And I've just been manifesting things to come true. And I don't think it's been happening just since a week. It's been happening for the past, I don't know, the whole lockdown. It started off super slow. I was just manifesting my timetables to be, you know, according to my timeline. And the classes just used to change. And I don't know, tests kept changing. And then recently, I've been having dreams. And the dreams started coming true. I dreamt something about somebody's family member that came. It was the freakiest thing ever because I don't even know the family member personally. I have barely had maybe one meeting with the family member. But I had a dream about them and it came true. And that was the freakiest part of it all. And another thing, I dreamt about somebody's COVID reports being negative. That came true. To be true, I mean, I think that was just a wish of mine and we got lucky. But another thing I dreamt, which was just recently, that since, you know, we've been having a hard time this, everybody's have been having a hard time this lockdown, having to do housework, do chores more than usual, but because our maids and, our maids and our help is obviously dealing with their own stuff. So for the past month, our maid has been coming to work because stuff has been good at her place. She had been checked. We had been checked. So she'd been coming to work. And so I had a dream that a person in her colony became COVID positive and that we had to start doing our work again in my house because my maid had to go on a leave. And today morning, my maid didn't show up and I was like, wait, what's going on? So I asked my grandmother, where's our maid? And I asked her, obviously I didn't say our maid, I asked her name, where's so-and-so person? And she's like, she's not gonna come for 14 days because there's somebody in her colony who became COVID positive. And I was like, What is going on with me? Am I a seer now? What is going on?
Maybe then we should get you the dream oracle and try to interpret what. But although your dreams have been pretty obvious, you don't need an interpretation.
Yeah, I don't need something to decode or, you know what the dreams are. They're pretty clear by themselves. That's the most shocking part. They were super vivid and just coming through, which is
there's just one other explanation for that.
Yeah, there's just one other explanation. I mean, either that I'm a seer or I'm harboring a piece of some Dark Lord soul somewhere.
It's okay. I mean, I'll be the Ron to your Harry.
Yeah, because every Harry needs a Ron, right?
Who doesn't want a Ron in their lives? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. I want a Ron.
And I mean, we do have our Rons. I mean, our group is kind of like a Ron to us.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But just Ron and...
Yeah. I just want Ron Weasley.
I just want him to be my friend, my brother, my husband, everything.
That's a little weird. I mean, I know we are Taylor Swift fans, but you're taking Trust Him Like a Brother way too seriously.
Yeah, it's just like either a brother or a husband, but like need him in any capacity. And that's why we're going to dedicate this whole hour to talking about Ron Weasley, who's amazing. He's the best damn thing to ever happen to the Potter world.
Yeah, he's the best thing about the series and the best thing about the books. It's like categorical for me. He is the best thing about the series.
He makes me laugh so much. Oh my god. So Harry is sassy. Harry is funny too. He's sassy. Yeah. But it's like, oh, burn. But Ron just gets me laughing. I just have to put the book down and be just like...
Ron just has a really amazing comedic timing. He has a very good comedic timing. He's just naturally funny. He's the funny guy.
I just love it. You know the part in Prisoner of Azkaban where at the end, Sirius sends Pig... I don't know how to pronounce that. Owl's name, but the tiny owl.
Pigwin.
And yeah, and then he's like, oh, Ron should have this owl since I took away his pet. And then Ron like takes Pigwin close to Crookshank. He's like, you reckon it's an owl? Yeah. I'm just laughing.
Yeah. There are so many instances of Ron Weasley being funny, because I feel like everything Ron Weasley says is funny. So I don't even want to list out what he says is funny.
It's just I love the scenes when he exists. I just want him to be making jokes and mothering these two around. I just want that. All I want is Ron.
You just know he's Molly Weasley's child, because he's 110% the mom of the group.
110%. You know, the way he talks to Harry when Harry's stressing too much. The way he talks to Hermione when she's taken up literally all the subjects that are to offer in Hogwarts.
Yeah. I mean, everybody will probably be like, oh, Hermione is the mom. Which she is in some conditions. She is the more... adult figure, but you know the whole thing about being nurturing and being super fussy about everybody's help. I think that's Ron. Ron is the one who's the most worried about everybody's physical and mental well-being.
You know, so we meet Ron. Ron is basically why Harry gets his amazing wizarding life, is because Ron is his entry.
Into
the wizarding world, Ron gives him a family. Ron gives him everything. Just everything that Harry has been lacking till now. And just Ron Weasley.
I feel like we should have put a disclaimer that most of this episode will be us just being like, ah, Ron Weasley.
Maybe that should be the title of
that's a good idea.
Ron Weasley.
Because he's such an underrated character, people just dismiss Ron, and that should tell you why he is the way he is, because of the way people think about
him. In our last episode, we talked about how you identify a Snape apologist because they have clearly not read the books. And again, in case of Ron, people who don't like Ron, you've clearly not read the books, because Ron is everything. Without Ron, it's just Harry and Hermione going nuts about things. Yeah. And there's no kind of like a teenage, normal child thing going on.
Ron is literally the glue that holds this group together.
The thing is, he doesn't know that. He thinks he's not the glue that's holding it together.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, you don't know how precious you are.
Yeah, it just makes me super sad, because he doesn't know his own worth. And he decides that, yeah, these two will be fine without me. But no, that's not true. These two are nothing without Ron. They can't function properly without Ron.
Yeah, they're not... like in the fourth book, we see when they have the fight, Harry and Ron have the fight, and Harry and Hermione are just, Harry's just existing with Hermione the entire time, going, oh, if Ron was here, you know, he'd find this funny. Why is Ron not here?
Yeah, why is Ron not here? He wouldn't call it wonky faint.
And he's just, he doesn't care about Hermione at that point of time, although she's like really helping him.
Yeah.
And but Harry's just like, oh, but Ron, I just want Ron. I don't care about anything else in the world right now.
Yeah, I just need Ron's approval, which he does. He, you know, whenever like Ron, Harry and Hermione are like in the middle of like a discussion or determining whether this is the right course of action, if you think about it, he'll always look at Ron and be like, what do you think? What do you think?
That's the thing. Like, Harry loves Ron so much. Oh my, it warms my heart. He's just Ron trash. He's
us for Ron.
Even when he's having feelings for Ginny, he's just worried, oh my god, she's a sister.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't want to compromise this relationship for this. And he's ready to give up on, like, this.
He's the love of his life, basically.
For
the love of his life.
And even Hermione. Hermione also loves Ron the most.
Yeah.
That's not just because she ends up with him, but she gets him. And she gets
him. Yeah, exactly. Hermione gets him. And the best part is Ron gets Hermione. And that's why they work. And they're just equals. There's no other guy that would go toe-to-toe with Hermione Granger and not be intimidated. Ron Weasley is not intimidated by Hermione Granger.
And the thing is, someone as neurotic as Hermione needs someone like Ron to, like, balance that energy down.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody needs to be like, Hermione, shut up, you're stressing too much.
You know, if Hermione and Harry, like, if this was a thing, they would just kill each other by that at some point, or get like a really, really bad end to that relationship for sure, because they are just both such hot-headed, opinionated,
exactly. They're both hot-headed, they're both opinionated, and oftentimes their ideas are extremely like the polar opposites.
Yeah, and they just don't get along, and the reason why they get along is that at points Ron is like, oh, but you gotta like calm down, two of you. You're going nuts. But yeah, Ron has his moments, okay? We're not saying that Ron is flawless. In fact, he's awfully flawed, which is what makes him amazing.
Yeah.
But exactly. Ron has his makes moments.
Him real.
Yeah, and so let's talk about some of Ron's not so great moments. And we have justification for all of them.
Yeah.
So,
because again, disclaimer, this is a podcast that is absolutely like pro Ron Weasley, so if you want to hear trash about Ron Weasley, you can just leave, because it's going to be a huge disappointment.
Just a couple of Slytherins obsessing over how amazing Ron Weasley is.
Yeah, which is unheard of.
Draco Malfoy would have a seizure.
Yeah, he would have our heads.
Well, screw you.
Screw you, Draco.
But, so let's talk about Ron's low points. Let's just get this out of the way. So he's not fit for Hermione, apparently, because he's mean to her. And first of all, he's mean to her. But he is mean to her. But who's not mean to their friends? Everyone's mean to their friends.
Exactly. Literally, I've been mean to you guys my whole life. You guys are still friends with
me. I just ghost you guys for days on end. So much that you guys have to email me to ask me, are you alive or not? And I'm just like, oh, I was just chilling.
Did this girl die? Did she have COVID? Did she die?
These two have at this point like sent me off to a COVID center and have like passed away, and my parents have not bothered to tell them, and now they are emailing me if you're okay. And anyway, so yeah,
we just left without any warning whatsoever.
I can't make promises that won't happen again. Yeah. It's okay.
This time though, we'll be prepared.
I'm emotionally stable. This is a disclaimer. I am okay. I just need time away from social media once in a while.
And we all do that, right? We all have these times when we, you know, just leave the group or just not leave the that is not as dramatic as it sounds, by the way. We exit WhatsApp groups is what I mean. And we all do that because it's sometimes you need a way, you need time to just evaluate your life, or like you just need time off, man. And it's not natural and it's normal. And
it's okay.
Being mean to your friends is literally what we all do.
And the thing is, so there's a lot of reasons.
You also have the right to be mean to them because they're like your friends.
Yeah, but like there's also a lot of reasons why Ron is the way he is, and we'll start unraveling that in a while. But the fact that he's mean to Hermione, he is mean to her, but whenever anybody tries to come for Hermione, he literally tries to kill them. He's Neville has to hold Ron back from wringing Draco Malfoy's neck with his bare hands. He's like, I don't need a wand. I can just do it with my bare hands. I'll just show him. And how do you not love this man? How do you not love this man?
I completely agree. It's just ridiculous to me that...
The whole mudblood thing. The man... Okay, he did not know that he was going to... The spell was going to backfire and everything. But he was puking slugs.
He went after this person, even though he knew his wand was broken. But he's like, you know what? I don't care. You insulted my friend and I'm not going to stand for it.
He's just, he doesn't, even with Harry, when Seamus is going for Harry in the fifth year. Yes. And Ron is like, okay, so why don't you shut the fuck up and leave my boy alone.
Why don't you just shut up and go to sleep, or I'm gonna give you detention tomorrow.
Like, power, man. Like, that was kind of hot. But yeah, so Ron Weasley, the reason why he's... Okay, so he's just... He does have outbreaks, and he does snap at people. He doesn't have the best reactions to things. But, like, you guys are wishing for too much from a literal teenage boy.
Yeah.
And in this whole equation, he's the only one who's technically acting normal.
Acting his age. Yeah.
Yeah, like, Harry is Harry. He's the chosen one. He's the main dude. Hermione is...
You have been such... extraordinary circumstances.
Exactly. Harry's the outlier. Yeah. Hermione is also a muggle born, and she's all self-confident. She's the only child. And Ron Weasley was... This is like going to school for him. And it's nothing new for him. He's always known the wizarding world. And he has six siblings.
Yeah.
Five of them are boys. And he's the youngest boy. And so here's the thing with siblings. Okay. You want to try to have your own identity.
Yeah.
And I have one sibling. And I'm occasionally, constantly compared to her by my relatives. Not necessarily my parents, but sometimes my parents. And it's well-meaning, but it's annoying. And now... Ronald Weasley has five of those people. And the only person younger than him is a girl. Who is, like, she gets her own thing because she is... She's the only girl in the Weasley household. At least the child. And
she's the baby, you know, like, she's the baby sister.
Yeah, so he doesn't even get to be the baby. He doesn't even get to be, like, and all his brothers are just super hot. There's Bill Weasley, who's, oh my god. There's Charlie, who's, who works with dragons.
Yeah, who works with fire, so, yeah.
Yeah, Bill is a tomb raider. There is this, Percy is like some genius weirdo.
Yeah.
Fred and George are the funniest, most ambitious, most innovative people to ever grace Hogwarts apart from the Marauders. And Ron is just over there and he's just sick and tired of living in their shadow of just being another Weasley.
The first time he comes to Hogwarts, he has what? Bill's old robes, I think, and Charlie's old wand or something. I don't know if it was Bill's old robes, but he did get something from Bill and Percy's rat and Charlie's wand. And I'm just like, you don't even get your own thing, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't even have his own things. And that's also because his family is poor. Like, real poor.
Yeah.
And that's, you can see the whole anxiety about, you know, finances with him, because he never gets new things. And when Harry, with the whole, I don't know what those binoculars are called, but those things and Harry just buys them for him, and he's like, oh, you don't need to buy me Christmas presents then. And then he pays him with the leprechaun gold. Later finds out that that gold disappears, and Harry still got him Christmas gift that year. And he's just like, you know, that's the saddest Ron moment.
I hate being poor.
I just hate being poor. And, you know, he's looking at Harry and being like, oh, what is it like to just not notice that your money is gone?
Yeah.
And
such a hard-hitting question.
And also, in the fifth year, when Hermione comes up with that galleon, and she's like, we just have to be careful not to spend it. And he's like, oh, that's not going to happen. I've not got any. And I'm just like, oh, Ron.
Ron Weasley.
Oh, Ron Weasley. I just want to, like, you know, just wrap him up in all the love and all the, like, nice things. And
I just give Ron the world. And so does Harry. You can tell that Harry wants to do the same. He just wants to give him the world and give him... He's like, oh, I would have, like, he's like, Harry would have shared half his gold with the Weasley families easily, but they would never take it. Because he loves Ron, and he's, Ron Weasley about Ron Weasley.
That's exactly. And it's just heartbreaking. So the thing with that is that Ron is always... We need to understand what privilege of financial well-being is. That whenever Ron is making any decision, especially like thinking of buying something, he's always doing the calculations in his head. And, you know, it's the carefreeness of a child is not there within Ron as much. It's because he's always making the calculations. He's always making sure he's careful so that his family doesn't have to pay for new stuff. Or, you know, it's just hard to be this way. And that is why he has a low, bandwidth for nonsense. He snaps at people easily. He has huge insecurities because of it. Because Hermione and Harry don't exactly have this issue. Hermione's parents are dentists.
Yeah.
And Harry's grandfather was a fucking entrepreneur, and so he has like real royalties coming in, although Harry doesn't know that. But so Ron is just insecure about his first of all identity, setting himself apart from his siblings, setting himself apart from his friends.
Exactly.
He's friends with Hermione Granger and Harry Potter, and these two are just phenomenally talented and like smart and, you know, just huge figures in his life. And Ron is just a normal boy. And, you know, I read this one thing, was that greatness, some people are born with greatness. Greatness is thrust upon some people. and some people achieve greatness. So Hermione is someone who was born with greatness. Harry, greatness thrust upon.
Yeah.
And Ron is someone who achieved greatness because Ron got great owls, and he was not a dumb idiot boy. He was a smart boy, and he walked through for Quidditch as well. The whole thing that from the fifth movie, the whole Ron Quidditch bit was taken out completely. So we think that in the sixth movie, when the whole Cormac McGregor and Hermione thing happens, we think that it's because of Hermione that Ron got in. No, Ron worked hard for this. He worked hard all year, and he failed so many times, and he got bullied for it, and oh my god, and he still made it. He still
made it.
He's just Ron Weasley.
Okay, not just all this, but Ron is like the most observant person ever. He notices Hermione's, you know, disappearances and her acting really super weird about her classes. And he's the only person who comments on it. Like, Harry might be like noticing it offhand, but he never mentions it. But Ron is like so persistent. He's like, what is going on with you? Ek toh you look super like dreadful because you're like absolutely wrung out because of how tired you are, and you keep disappearing off to nowhere, and we find you like 2 minutes before each class ends.
By the way, Harry doesn't notice anything, any of this stuff.
Harry doesn't notice any of it. And again, even the whole Umbridge thing, where Ron is supposed to notice that Harry actually has scars on the back of his hand, and it's been happening for an entire week, and yes, they're alone, and that's why he notices it. But I'm sure, like, there has been plenty of opportunity for Harry and Hermione to be together alone as well, or just being three of them together alone. But Ron is the first person who notices the scars on his hands, and is like, you have to tell a grown-up, what is this? This is, like, not okay.
Yeah, and he's just always taking care of these two. Remember when so Harry finds out that this is Prisoner of Azkaban. Harry finds out that Sirius was James's friend, and then that he sold them out. And Ron and Hermione the next day, this is the best. Ron and Hermione the next day are like, you're not going to do something crazy, right? Like, you should not. And he's like, what would I do? And Ron is like, oh, I don't know, like, go after the mass murderer, maybe.
And Harry's just like, oh, it just felt like they had rehearsed this conversation before. And I'm just like, this has such parent vibes.
It does. And Ron is like a dad. He's like, you know, you're not going to do this. Like, I don't care how many feels you have about this. But it ain't happening, bro. And he's just, you know, the fight that they have in fourth year is basically the manifestation of all of Ron's insecurities. And Hermione says this as well. She's the only, again, Harry is as observant as a pea.
Yeah. You know, Harry is observant. He's the only
He's got like a tunnel vision. Like, you know. He won't notice, like, things going around him when he has his, like, you know, when he's obsessed.
He won't notice, like, the simplest, easiest things about his friends, but about his enemies, he's, like, spot on.
So in fourth year, Ron is, him and Harry have this fight because he thinks Harry put his name in the Goblet of Fire. And it's a manifestation of all his insecurities. It's because he's starting to feel like Harry doesn't need him anymore. And and it's just like, thinking of it from Ron's perspective, it's just heartbreaking because he thinks that Harry has other, I don't know, he's too cool for me now, he doesn't need me anymore, and he's starting to think this, and then this thing happens. And they've talked about how they would have done it if they were of age. And Harry's like, oh yeah, I would have done it too. And then this happens, like it manifests. And
by the way, like in the movies, this is like ignored. Like they say that Ron is like, oh, we'd enter me, and Harry's like, yeah, better you than me. But in the books, Harry never says that. Harry would was like, oh, if it was me, I would like go and put in the thing at night, like put in my name.
At Yeah, and like, let's not talk about movie Ron, because I could do really bad things to whoever did that to Ronald Weasley in the movies.
I think it was Steve Clovis who was about pushing the agenda of harmony instead of...
I mean, okay, listen. If you want to do that, do it. But why do you want a character assassinate Ron and Ginny? You don't need to. You can just build a chemistry between Harry and Hermione. You don't need to put down two of the most amazing characters.
Exactly. And this is not a Ginny Weasley episode, but we also love Ginny. And this podcast loves the two underrated Weasley.
We love the Weasleys so much. It's unreal. But and he's just, all his insecurities are just like bubbling out. He's like, okay, Harry really doesn't need me anymore. Okay, fuck this. And he just shuts down. And
he thinks, okay, Harry has friends now. He's popular. He has a family now because of Sirius. So What use am I to him? And why does he need me? And that's something that is so sad to think about, that you start to feel, and it's something most of us will start feeling when our friends start like talking to other people and stuff. It's like the little insecurities in us where we just... you can't help but feel, even though it's like super unreal and super...
Yeah, it is, because Harry, all he thinks about is Ron for the next whatever time that they're apart.
Yeah. And he's just thinking about Ron.
The whole time he's just sad that, Ron is not talking to him. But Ron is thinking that he doesn't need him anymore, which is stupid, Ron. You have no idea how much this boy loves you. You literally have no idea. You'll never know how much this boy loves you.
That's so sad.
I wish they had gone to the Yule Ball together as bros. But it's okay. And also, talking about the Yule Ball, so Hermione again, it's such a it's not the right response.
14 years old man.
Exactly, he's a 14 year old boy. You cannot expect like a mature response from him, and he doesn't
I don't want to justify something that's like inappropriate. Maybe it's not the right response, okay? But it's not like he feels proud about having it. You know, he's not like happy about having the response, or like he's not like
confident. Yeah. So he's obviously not confident. He doesn't think that he matters too much. So he doesn't think that someone like Hermione Granger is going to want to go with him. And then he hears about Neville, and he makes that little joke about, Neville, who will go with Neville. And that was me.
That was
but
me.
Again, I want to say is that, I love Neville. This is not a Neville Longbottom episode. But kudos to Neville for just going for it, man. He just went for the big leagues. He went for Hermione and Ginny.
Exactly. And you know what? Hermione would have said yes had she not already said yes.
Yes, to Crumb.
Yeah. So she's nice. And even though Neville is not the most popular boy in school, he is nice, I mean.
He's the sweetest. I think I would like to date Neville. But yeah, and so it's all his insecurities coming out, because he just doesn't feel worthy at all of Hermione, of Harry. That's his whole deal. Ron just never feels worthy, and we see this glaringly when he gets the prefect's badge and which again we do not touch upon in detail in the movies. It's just, you know, when he finds out and even Hermione is like, oh, are you sure? And it's just heartbreaking because Ron is just, it's just so, I don't know, confused that this can happen for him. He's just so, he can't believe it.
Yeah, he can't believe it because it's like, it's incomprehensible for him. And which is why he's just like so confused and so like, it's just something so unimaginable for him that he just looks at Harry and he goes like, is this real? Is this actually happening? I can't even like comprehend it. And that just says so much about Ron's.
It just makes me so sad because this boy doesn't realize. And you know, when his mom comes in and she just so, Molly's so happy. She's just so happy. She's like, oh, Ron. And then she's like, oh, we'll get you something. And then Ron is like, oh, but like, oh, it's too much money. And like,
yeah. The first response is, what do you mean? He's like, bitch. I mean, yeah, they're poor, you know. Like, obviously, so. But he's just so not used to being like given such special attention or like even like being given anything extra than anyone.
I just, yeah, and when Molly's like, you know what, we'll do something, we'll get it up, like, yes, like just get him everything. Just I don't like you know, in when Harry, the only thing Harry can get Ron, and he gets him, but Ron doesn't know that he's got him. That is the dress robes that he makes the twins get for Ron, because Ron hates his dress robes. And so Harry remembers at least that much, for thank God.
It's about Ron. Harry doesn't not notice. I mean, yeah, he didn't notice all the insecurities, but like, He learned his lesson, you know? He learned his lesson. This was like a necessary thing for their friendship, because now Harry knows how much he needs Ron. And he's like,
yeah, because
anything for this boy.
He will. But yeah, I don't hate Harry, obviously, because we have done an episode on him. And I love Harry a lot. But just everyone has their flaws. It's fine. But yeah, we see this. We see that Harry's finally getting Ron. When Ron gets his prefect badge, and Harry's just, his initial response is, you know what? Like, what the fuck? Like, this should have been me. But then after like a few seconds, he's like, you know what? Like, he deserves it. It's fine. Like,
yeah, he deserves it. And plus then he starts thinking about it rationally, where he's like, oh, we're the same when it comes to work, which is true. Like, Harry and Ron are like on par in all subjects except Defense Against the Dark Arts. And the only reason I feel why Harry is good at Defense Against the Dark Arts is because he literally has no choice. He has to be good at something he needs to defend himself against. He has to be good at Dark Arts. Like,
that's his one thing.
That's just one thing. Yeah. That's all you need to know how to do, Harry. Like, if you can't even be good at that, then that would... And even Hermione is not as good as Harry. So you can't even... I don't want to say you can't even expect Ron to be. That's just, like, bad.
But Harry's had a lot of practice.
It was not, like we said, it was thrust upon him. That
exceptional
knowledge and that capability was thrust upon him, and not something he's actively worked towards. It just happened to be something that happened to him, and which is as a result of which he's good at it. But Ron is like equally comparable to Harry. Like, even,
yeah, he's not a duffer.
Yeah, he's not a duffer. Of course not. He's not.
He's not naturally, he doesn't grasp things naturally, maybe, but he works hard for it. And that's most of us.
And you know what? I'll be honest, he doesn't even work that hard. Like,
yeah, he doesn't. He lazes around a lot.
Exactly. He and Harry are some of the like most lazy people on the planet. They leave their things, and this is like super rich coming from me. I leave my studies for the last minute as well. But
no, nobody's Hermione Granger.
Okay. Yeah, nobody's Hermione Granger. Nobody gets study life from the first day of school, okay? That's not it. I can't even sustain that. I'll be like, oh, nice new books, let's start. But I'll just be like, no, this is not happening. I would rather make this podcast. Yeah.
We are talking about this while my exams are a week away. So
exactly.
And Sharwari has weekly exams.
Yeah.
So, lol, Hermione would not approve. Harry and Ron would approve completely. They would be the ones sitting in the Gryffindor common room having a podcast, for sure.
Yeah. They'd be like, oh, the trials and tribulations of Harry Potter featuring Ron Weasley. First episode, what happened the day we couldn't get through platform 9 3/4?
That would be a great episode. Damn it. I would listen to that.
Yeah, so, petition for Ron and Harry to make a podcast.
For sure. I would read a whole 7-book series of that. Anyway, so getting back to the point. Dumbledore tells Harry that he didn't make him. Why did he not make him the prefect?
Because he already had a lot to deal with.
So here's why I want to call bullshit on Dumbledore. It's because if I was Minerva McGonagall, I'm sure Minerva McGonagall would pick Ron, not Harry. Is because, first of all, is it not only is Ron a at-par student with Harry, but Harry is impulsive as fuck. He's just tunnel vision and impulsive. While as Ron is more controlled and he's like, okay, just hold up, let's think about this. Are you sure? Do we really want to do this? And then he goes ahead with Harry because first of all, he doesn't want to leave Harry alone because Harry will mess things up for sure.
Harry will mess things up and Ron is just like, listen, if something happens to this boy, I need to be there to at least clean up the mess.
Exactly. He is the mother hen of the group. So it just completely makes sense that Ron is the prefect. Is because Harry is not prefect material.
Yeah, exactly. Because every time Harry comes up with some scheme, Ron is like, but wait, are you sure? Like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, right?
Are you sure you want to follow the spiders?
Yeah, are you sure? Are you sure you want to go to Ministry of Magic right now? Are you sure? And then he's just like, this guy can't be like, I can't convince this guy, so now I have to go. And that shows so much responsibility, by the way. What the hell? That is a lot of responsibility from a 14-15-year-old, okay? And that's why Ron Weasley deserves to be prefect.
Also, the fact that he just doesn't go along because, Harry's gonna do this now. I have to go along so Harry doesn't mess up. He knows the responsibility that Harry comes with. Whenever Harry, doesn't know things about the wizarding world, Ron's response isn't, why didn't you ask me? It's like,
sorry, bro, I forgot that you wouldn't know about this.
Yeah, he's like, I should have told you. I'm sorry, it's my fault. And he's always, so he knows, by this time, he knows what Harry's life is going to be like and being with Harry is going to be like. And he doesn't need to get involved with these things, really. But he chooses to get involved with this because he just loves Harry so much and he believes in Harry.
And oh my god, this is going to make me super emotional, but he believes in Harry. Like, there's no other explanation for it. He just completely thinks that this boy needs my help and this boy has the right of it and he needs a family, he needs a friend, and that's why I have to go with him and save the Sorcerer's Stone. I have to go with him and,
okay,
everything else in the whole entire series, everything else that he does. And people, because of these stupid movies, the movies have literally gave all Ron's lines to Hermione, including the fact that Ron was the first one to say that he would, go save the Sorcerer's Stone with him. He was the one who stood on a broken leg in front of a mass murderer and a werewolf.
God. He doesn't know about the werewolf thing. But yeah,
But yeah, but whatever. And I think Lupin wasn't even there yet. Sorry, but he's just like if you want to kill Harry, you have to kill us too. And his leg is broken in two pieces.
Exactly, it's snapped. It's not like it's like splintered. It's snapped. It's broken.
Because Sirius Black is just that extra, and so we have to break teenagers' legs to bring them inside. I don't know what Sirius was thinking.
I mean, Sirius is also tunnel vision. There are a lot of parallels between Harry Potter and Sirius Black.
Yeah, and Ron. And similarly, we all know that
Ron Weasley and James Potter.
Yeah,
because they both see this abused lonely boy sitting in a corner, and they both go, okay, this is my dude, I'm gonna adopt him, I'm gonna give him my family and anything he needs.
Yeah, literally Ron, and I mean, I feel like so I don't know, this is emotional, and I feel like anytime we talk about the Marauders, it's just emotional. And even Ron Weasley, because when Sirius must have seen this boy Ron, or must have heard about this boy Ron, who took Harry in and invites him on, you know, summer so that he can spend time with his family and not be subjected to abuse by the Dursleys. I mean, it obviously reminds him of his own life.
We're not going to talk about the Marauders. We decided this.
Yeah, I know. But this is just something I thought about right now. Right?
I know. I can just... Oh my god. Maybe that's why he
is our trigger. I feel like
Marauders. Marauders are a big trigger for me. And don't even name that man with...
Yeah.
Who looks like Harry.
Yeah, don't even talk about him. Because I will just burst out crying. But this is even making me so sad thinking about how...
Maybe that's the reason why Sirius... the Weasleys lived with Sirius. Sirius was like, you know what? This is Harry's family. I'm going to give them all the space in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they could make me, adopt me too.
Yeah, just like they've adopted Harry. Yeah,
I mean, they could do with a dog, so
yeah, that's all that's missing from them.
Yeah, so yeah, and Ron is, I've forgotten what we were talking about for sure. What were we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's a distraction for us.
Wow, you bring in Marauders, and I'm just like out of it.
Yeah, we were talking about how James and Ron are
back. Yeah, Ron. Ron takes him in, and Ron, there's a lot of obvious instances of Ron in the later years, but in the first 3 years, there's the broken leg thing. There's also the fact that he finds out that Harry's at his house at the Dursleys, and he's like been grilled in, or like the
Yeah,
and he
just figures it out that this boy is not responding to any of my texts. This is literally what we
you emailed me.
Yeah, we emailed you instead, which is our way of coming to you with a flying code.
I mean, we were in quarantine, so.
Yeah, we were in quarantine. Otherwise, we would have driven up, you know. Like, our friend has a car, we would have.
I can imagine. But yeah, he just flies in with this illegal invention of his father's, and he's like, hop in, we're gonna take you away, like,
yeah.
You are adopted, officially adopted.
Which, by the way, which 12-year-old has even like the brains to figure this out, that you've not been receiving your your owls, and you know, him and Hermione have probably been talking about, oh, he's not receiving this, or are they mistreating him? Are they like locking him in, or what's going on, and stuff like that.
Exactly. And he's just like, you know what, no. Like, I'm just going to go and see what's happening for myself. I cannot handle this. And he's known this boy for 1 year. And let's not forget that the whole sacrifice thing. Like, he doesn't die, obviously. But in the chess game...
But it's a, he could have. He, what does he know?
Yeah, he didn't know that.
Yeah.
And the chess game, and again, another window into the fact that Ron Weasley is not like a dumb idiot. He, how many of us can play chess that well?
I can't play chess.
I have tried with my dad, who was, by the way, like a district level champion or something. And I have cried because he doesn't let me win. So, he's that kind of a father. But, yeah, you.
Yeah, I mean, same with my dad. Like, my dad was like an amazing chess player. I don't think he was like a district level champion or something, but he was like really good. And I tried it, but I don't think it's my thing. My dad is just like, you have to think about the future, what you want to do. And I'm like, I'm 12. I can't do that.
Exactly. And Ron Weasley can do that at 11.
Exactly.
And this is Minerva McGonagall's chess game. Okay, she's the smartest woman out in Hogwarts. And yeah, she probably thought Hermione got it, but well.
Yeah, she was in for a surprise. Yeah.
And to
play chess, you need so much. And you know, inside Ron has all these things. He has ambition, he has a fighting spirit, he has patience, he has confidence, and he has passion. But just takes some, it's not easy for him to like manifest it.
That's true. You know what he's penalized for? Another thing I've heard of is Ron criticism, is that his reflection in the mirror of Erised is so self-centered. First of all, Harry's is the outlying
exactly
image, because yeah, you can't compare Harry's experience with any of these other kids. Ron is just imagining what a normal 11-year-old kid with good upbringing and just like normal insecurities,
yeah,
will bring out. And it's again, it's the whole thing, the head boy, the prefect, the Quidditch captain. It's the things that his brothers achieved that he wants, and he wants all of them because he wants to be better than all of them. He wants to stand out, and and he just doesn't, even in the later years, why he's still insecure is because he just doesn't want to be Harry's sidekick and Hermione's best friend. He wants to be Ron Weasley.
Sometimes even the books don't do Ron justice. Like,
they don't.
I mean, I just want him to have the world.
I just want him to have everything. He just deserves everything.
I don't know if that's too much to ask for. It's just simple.
Another thing that he's penalized for, and this is the biggest thing, is the Deadly Hallows fight. And I don't understand how you all are, not you guys, but like people in general, are so unempathetic of the fact that this is a 17-year-old boy who...
Forget even about the age thing, okay? Like, you can be insecure at any age. It's possible. And you can regret your actions just as you've done them. Like, I'm not 17, but anytime I say something I don't mean to, like, I just regret it. And it happens. Like, sometimes you just say things you don't mean. Sometimes you're just like living in this toxic environment for so long that it just brings out stuff in you that's like,
exactly. And he literally has a piece of Voldemort's soul against his chest. He's wearing the locket, and
he has no idea what's happening to his family. You know what he said about his family? It was not entirely like incorrect. Like, Ron, Harry's family is dead. Hermione's family is safe in Australia. And Ron's family is out there going to work every day amongst Death Eaters.
Yeah, like, and he's the only one with real, you know, real things to lose. He's got everything to lose.
He's got everything to lose. I just don't understand how people don't...
I mean, when Harry's... looking at Ginny's dot on the Marauders map, and they're listening to the names on the radio of missing people. Harry's just hearing for Ginny. But Ron is listening for his entire family. That's so stressful. And the fact that he's not with his family right now, he's decided to run away with his two best friends. And he should be with his family. He should be protecting his family. But he's not. That's gonna fuck with your brain. And obviously he ran out because it just got too much. And yeah, so do not come for Ron Weasley because of that thing. I don't know if I would have lasted that long. I don't know if I would have even gone. Or like, I don't know. It's just the fact that his outburst is completely valid. 100% valid.
It's 100% valid, and he even says it himself that he regrets it the moment he leaves, but he literally lands himself into a pair of snatchers. What is he supposed to do? Oh, what is he supposed to do? I feel like the response was just like super like impulsive, because you know, Gryffindors, so yeah, there will be impulsive responses, and he just probably needed to like take a walk. Know, like, just clear his head out, which he did. He realized what was the issue with him, and the moment he tried to come back, he couldn't help it. He was just like, he landed himself in a pair of snatchers, and then by the time he like got free, like, he shook them off, they had disappeared because I don't know.
They must have moved or something. I don't remember either.
Yeah, they just moved. Yeah, they moved because of something. I don't remember why. But just, they just decided to. Probably because the place was reminding them too much of Ron. Whatever. Because
they're both obsessed with Ron.
Yeah, yes. They're both obsessed with Ron Weasley. Yeah, exactly.
Ron just doesn't get how much these two love him. Just.
I feel like Deathly Hallows Fight is something people use like such a big argument, but it's like the most explainable, and it's just not,
you know, if
it's 2020 people, it's not a good enough reason to hate.
You know, if he hadn't done that, that would be unrealistic. It's because he's got everything to lose in this war. He's not Harry, whose family is dead. He's not Hermione, whose family is obliterated. Harry has
literally nothing to do.
Exactly. Sirius is also dead. Literally, like, everything. Maybe Remus, but Remus is fine.
Remus, for all he knows, hates him because he, said shit to Remus in the.
Yeah.
So for all he knows, Remus hates him. And he's like completely severed ties with every single person.
Exactly.
And he has literally nothing to lose. Yeah, Hermione, yes, she does have a lot to lose. You know, her life, her family, she does have that to lose. But Hermione has never had to... Hermione's family is safe and away in Australia. They don't have to go to work every day amongst the teachers. You know, she doesn't have that constant threat on her mind. I'm sure she worries about them. I'm sure she worries about them being happy. And
yeah, but I feel like just worrying about two people versus worrying about, like, I don't know, seven people is a different thing. It's just like, you know, I hope mom is okay. I hope dad is okay. I hope all my brothers are okay. I hope Ginny, who's going to basically a dark art school, is okay.
Oh my god.
I'm surprised he didn't break down sooner. But like, he has, and whatever reasoning he was trying to do with himself, Voldy's little slimy little soul was not helping it, and that's what broke his resolve.
Every time he must have tried to come up with like a counter argument, or like an argument against, you know, to stay, an argument for staying, Voldy's soul must have been like, oh no, but this and...
Yeah, and Ron is, so we talk about how Ron is not, is bound by his financial situation, and that always comes up. It's subtle, but it always comes up. But he understands because of that, he understands the plea of Dobby and the house elves. He has biased views regarding the whole house elf thing.
Again, which is super normal because he's lived in a wizarding family his whole life. He believes what he sees.
Yeah, that's his normal.
Yeah, it's normal. It's not like Hermione who's coming from the Muggle world with eyes that are like sort of privileged, you know? It's like
it is privileged.
A privilege that she can even attempt to recognize it. And
yeah. And the fact that then Ron gives, while Harry gives Dobby these smelly Uncle Vernon socks, Ron gives Dobby the jumper, and Dobby just loves it so much. And,
yeah, and he gives him his socks, purple socks.
And his purple socks. He's like, oh, it's no big deal, it's fine. Like, you know, I've got a lot of these. And he's just like so giving and generous in of his own things. Like, he doesn't, his way of showing love is not buying things, he's just sharing his own things. All of us have some internalized biases and things that maybe are not okay, but we don't know that it's not okay. And until at some point someone comes along and tells us, oh, this is why it's not okay, and that's Hermione for him. Hermione comes along and says, this is why it's not okay. And he doesn't grasp it completely, and Hermione is always mad about it. But you know, the fact that Hermione is knitting, okay, I respect that she's doing this thing. But when she's knitting the things and she's leaving them around the you know, the common room, and Ron is going around like picking them out. She's trying to trick these house elves who are just deeply conditioned, that she's going to trying to trick them into emancipation, which they get severely depressed by. And Ron is quietly going around picking away the things that Hermione,
trash that she's covering.
Yeah, and yeah, we find out
he's like, they should at least know what they're picking up, which is so true. I mean, totally, I am like pro spew, obviously. Like, we are pro spew because
it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's S-P-E-W. You know, this is a Ron Weasley episode, not a Hermione Granger episode. But, yeah, so, wait, what was I saying? Yeah, even though we are pro spew, it's not just, you can't just thrust them into freedom. That's not going to work out well for them. And I think Vicky is a very good example for that. Dobby really wanted it, and he was an outlier, you know?
You can't compare Dobby because, you know, like, the other extreme of it is Creature. And I feel like Creature would kill himself if Sirius had...
Sirius said, you suggest to him that he leaves and see how he takes it. Because
he would have legit killed himself. And
it's more than just freedom. You need to educate them, and you need to like empower them. And there's a lot more that comes to it. I mean, obviously Hermione is young too, so she doesn't realize this yet. But
I appreciate Hermione for it. But like, the fact that Ron is perceptive of this thing, that, you know, they should at least know what's happening, is so sweet. It's like a really tiny moment, but it's so sweet. And I love Ron Weasley. I've said this 59 times in this. I mean, I do not blame Lavender Brown for just going crazy after Ronald Weasley.
Agreed. I feel like Rupert Grint was also like a sexual awakening for a lot of girls our age when they saw Hamlet Prince, even though that movie is complete trash.
I haven't watched it completely, you know, because I hate it. I hate it with everything in my body.
It's just...
Because it's just a stupid teenage drama thing, which isn't even good, by the way. And it's just badly done teenage drama. And it's left out all the important parts. And I don't know what's happening in that movie, but it's trash.
Complete and utter trash. I can't believe how they even allowed it to happen. And the memories are like 2 seconds. I don't understand.
That's the whole point of the whole book. But no, we're going to spend time.
And they don't even do the teenage drama correctly. Like,
exactly, it's awkward. All of it is completely awkward. I've never wanted to look away from a on-screen kiss that much.
Because Harry and
we are talking about Harry Ginny.
It's just like depressing.
What's with the duck face? What is with the duck face? It's just so makes me all squirmy.
They have this girl, like Bonnie Wright, who is like so pretty and. I don't want to start on Ginny right now, but...
Yeah, so Ron... But Rupert Grint was done a disservice. He would have been a perfect Ronald Weasley. He was a perfect Ronald Weasley. Movies. Yeah, I cannot... The whole spiders thing.
His facial expressions, and I mean.
It's just so funny. And it just lights up my world. And then later, they just... assassinated his character bad.
Like the whole I don't know, was it like the third book where
the Snape thing, the know-it-all dialogue? Yeah, so Snape calls Hermione a know-it-all, and movie Ron goes, he's got a point, you know, and book Ron goes, she asked a question, no, she knows the answer, so, and you asked her, so why don't you just fucking listen to what she has to say, dumbass.
Even in like the sixth book when Snape asks Harry, what's the difference between a ghost and an Inferi? And Harry is like, ghosts are transparent, aren't they? And Inferi are dead bodies reanimated, so they are solid. And then... Snape is like completely, and that's such a stupid answer, you know. Like, come on, Harry.
He's just bullshitting his way.
And
through.
I'm sure that Ron knows it's a stupid answer. But when Snape insults Harry, he's like, yeah, but we're gonna be having too much of a shifty to be like, are you the imparted soul of whatever. And he's just like, he stands up for his friends, okay?
You know, so in the fifth book, when they first meet Luna, and I don't know what joke it is that Ron makes, but Ron makes a joke, and Luna just like...
He would make Goyle write lines, and it would be something about, I am a baboon, like I am something uglier than a baboon's backside or something.
Yeah. And Luna just loses it, and everyone's just like looking at her like, why is she? And I'm just like, this girl gets it. She gets it. She completely gets why I would be Luna at this point. I'd just be laughing like, you know, you're the best boy here. Like, you are best. Love you.
Even in the fourth book, okay, when Harry and Ron are not talking, and Draco, I think, insults Harry and says something about him, and they're like fighting, and Draco's curse hits Hermione, and Ron is the first person to just drop everything and just rush to Hermione. And at that point, even Harry is so focused on his own fight that even he doesn't completely go to Hermione. But Ron's instinct is to, and I know that Harry and Ron are not talking, but that's always Ron's instinct. He's always, always looking out for his best friends.
He is the mother hen. He is the mother hen of the group. Like, no doubt. At all. Hermione may be the older child, and Harry's like the younger, tantrum-throwing, annoying little shit. Yeah. And... Yeah, so here's why I think that people don't like Ron, is because Ron is the realest character exactly. in this whole series. He has the most real reactions to things.
These reactions are something that we might have to situations. And yeah, and when people exactly. are confronted with what they would look like in reality, they tend to not like it, because we want our characters to be idealistic, because that's something we hope we are. That's something we hope we would do. But oftentimes we won't be.
Yeah, I mean, we all want to be Hermione Granger, but I know I would be a Ron Weasley given these situations. And you would, like, you know, we all have internalized biases. We all, you know, have flaws. We have insecurities. We lash out at the people we love because of these insecurities. Then we regret it. And we have, like, you know, these childish and self-absorbed goals. And yeah, and but the thing about Ron, you know, what I appreciate the most about Ron is that he's scared this entire time. This whole adventure, he's shitting his pants. He's not the bravest of the dudes. And but he does the heroic deeds anyway. He goes along anyway. He chooses the right thing anyway. You know why? Because he loves his friends and because he knows it's the right thing to do. He knows that this is what is the right thing to do. So even if it scares the shit out of me, even if I have to follow my 12-year-old best friend, my 12-year-old self has to follow my 12-year-old best friend.
Forbidden Forest.
To following spiders. This is the worst nightmare. But he just goes for it. And that's the true measure of, you know, courage.
Yeah.
And bravery. Yeah, it's not the absence of fear. It's doing it regardless of. Yeah, and he's, you know, he's like a ray of hope for all of us in that way. It's that he has so many flaws and he's so untalented in a way, but he still achieves greatness and
overcomes his biases to the point where he's the only one who thinks about the houses in the end, towards the end. So many things are going on at that point.
I mean,
there's
how
a battle. His brother has died.
How can Hermione not kiss him at this point? Again, another moment that the movies took away from us. Nobody cared for the Chamber of Secrets kiss. Like, it was nice, but it wasn't a moment. You know, that was the moment where, you know, Hermione realizes that this. She just can't.
She just said, listen, this is now or never. And this boy needs to know how great he is. Like, it's if we die, at least he needs to die knowing that I love him.
I love the fuck out of him.
But she does. And I just call bullshit on J.K. Rowling for saying that they wouldn't last. She's wrong.
I think they would be the longest lasting. Ones. They would be the ones who would be counseling other couples
exactly.
when they have fight.
Or
at least Ron would be the one who would be going around.
Be like, let them just do what they want, bro.
I think Ron would be like the nice, cool dad. Not the cool, but like at least the nice dad who's like, you know, he's not too strict, but he has his boundaries. He would be Arthur Weasley, basically. And
Hermione is kind of like Molly Weasley.
She is. So yeah, there you go. Best parents.
And as we know, Arthur and Molly lasted, so.
Yeah, they would have like 7 children. Yeah, so that's my take on Ron and Weasley, is that he is the true hero. Harry is the hero, yes. But Ron is the true hero. And Harry wouldn't have made it this far without Ron. They wouldn't have made it that
yeah.
far without Hermione
but
also.
Is
but Ron
Weasley
is the emotional
so,
support.
So we are going to give our love to Ron Weasley.
Yeah, and Ron is as important. Ron is the one who says we wouldn't have lasted without Hermione. It's because he knows how to appreciate people. And he also, Ron Weasley, they wouldn't have lasted
yeah.
without
yeah.
him. For
and
sure.
The thing is, Ron doesn't find it like, Ron, yeah, you're right, Ron appreciates everything about people. But he's also like a feminist king, you know, like he does not get intimidated by Hermione's successes and Hermione's ambition and...
Yeah, even Harry would be intimidated. He would be annoyed by Hermione first. I feel like... I mean, they're too opinionated. They're too, like, you know, neurotic. It doesn't work. So,
yeah. In conclusion, Weasley truly is a...
Weasley is that suck on it, Malfoy. Although, you know what? I feel like Draco was just jealous of Ron this whole time. It's because, first of all, Harry rejected Draco for Ron. And then Harry loves Ron so much, so aggressively. And Draco is just like, you know, even Harry aside.
Yeah, he just
Draco just wants that. He doesn't have any real friends in his life. Yeah, and also, you know, just imagine Draco Malfoy with his dad. Ronald Weasley with his dad. He's clearly happier family life, even though he's not as well financially endowed. Yeah. I feel like Draco is really jealous of Ronald. It's because Ron has family, love, he has friendships, and Draco has creativity.
Yeah,
he has creativity.
But, and you know what? We probably like not talked about a lot of other Ron stuff that we love, because we could talk about Ron for hours on end. That's what we
do. We love Ron so
much. Our hobby, I think, is to talk about Ron Weasley and the Marauders. That's basically what we do on Instagram.
Exactly. I mean, just like, this isn't even a joke. I've literally spent this whole morning trying to not check my phone and get some studying done, so that, because if I go on Instagram, I'm just going through like these,
yeah,
you know, James and Wolfstar and... It's horrible, but yeah. So this is the least we can say about Ron, because Ronald Weasley deserves all the amazing things, and he deserves all the love, and he deserves all the appreciation, and I don't know, I just love him so much that we love you, Ron.
Yeah, we love you, Ron.
Weasley is our king. So that's it for this week. And please don't forget to rate and review our podcast wherever on email. Yeah, we have our email in the description. And yeah.
And as always, guys, hiss, hiss, bitch.